Welcome to a Monday morning edition of the House Transportation Committee. We have two bills under agenda this morning scheduled for public hearing. I'd like to get to that public hearing process. Committee members noticed that neither one of them have work session associated with the public hearing today. So we're just going to hear public testimony on these bills this morning. And we will not have any introduction of committee measures today. We will have some on Wednesday. With that, I'd like to invite Representative Shutterly to the witness stand as John can explain the bill. House Bill, you open a public hearing on House Bill 2411. John.
Chair Starr and members of the committee, House Bill 2411 prohibits carrying a minor, a person under the age of 18, on an external part of a motor vehicle, which includes the open bed, hood, fender, or running board while on the highway. With the exception of the open bed, the rest is current statute already. So the open bed is what is changing statute. Provides exemption for carrying a minor in an open bed of a motor vehicle if the minor is secured with a safety belt or a safety harness that complies with administrative rules. There is no revenue impact on this bill, and a fiscal statement is issued, of which you're going to receive a copy in just a few minutes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members of the committee.
Good morning.
Representative Krupp. That's pretty handy. I've never
Thank
seen
you, Representative.
For the record, my name is Lane Shatterly, State Representative, District 34, and I am pleased to bring you House Bill 2411 and appreciate the opportunity for the hearing this morning. It's sort of the one that got away. We got this in late last session and really didn't have time to get this geared up for a hearing, and so we put this in the list of bills to carry over to this session, and so I'm pleased to get an opportunity to have it heard this session. It's an important bill. If you look at the language of the existing statute, you might think this bill is unnecessary. It already provides that it is an offense to carry a child. We're amending that to minor, just to make that clear. On an external part of a vehicle, which is defined as hood, fender, running board, and then other external part of any motor vehicle that is upon a highway, you might think that that should already apply to open beds of pickups. In fact, according to state police and every other law enforcement agency that we contacted in connection with this bill, it is not presently interpreted that way. And so this bill is offered as a clarification that indeed an open bed of a pickup is defined, is included as an external part of the vehicle for the purpose of the prohibition. I guess to point out the purpose of this bill in the context of where we already are in terms of passenger safety, and especially regarding children. We know that we have state laws requiring seat belts, and so I posit this situation where we have the end of season Little League game, and we're taking the team down to the local watering hole for a round of root beer floats, and the coach gets the team in his pickup, in his truck, and for the two or three kids that can fit into the cab, why state law requires that they be buckled in, fairly for their safety. That's a good rule, and it's saved lives. But under current law, the coach can put the rest of the team right in the open bed of that pickup and go driving down the road at highway speeds, and that is currently permitted. And I think that's a glaring inconsistency in laws that we have and policies we have regarding children's safety. This bill can change that. I think it's important to note that accidents that may cause only minor injuries or no injuries at all to the occupants of a cab of a pickup can be fatal to occupants who are, as a result of the impact, thrown out of the back of a pickup. And you may have situations, and I'm sure you'll hear testimony about situations today where no accident occurs, but somebody losing their balance or on a turn is simply falls out of the back of a pickup, but there's been no injury to the occupants. So we have here, I think, a situation where greater risk, the children in the back of a pickup are exposed to far greater risk than those who are maybe riding in the cab. But we have no laws requiring the public that they be appropriately safeguarded. This bill would address that, what I think is an omission in our current statutes regarding passenger safety in vehicles. And I would say to you, just in closing my remarks, that a lot of what we do in this building we do because we want to do well. We hope that in some way it improves the lives of Oregonians, but we're never sure. We always hope that's the case, but we never really see the concrete evidence of it. I submit to you that this bill is different, that based on what we know about the accidents from children falling out of and being thrown out of the beds of pickups, that this is a bill that we can say will save a life, that there are children alive today whose lives will be saved and who will be saved from serious physical injury if we pass this bill. And it is something that we can do that is identifiable and that we can feel very good about in terms of protecting the children of this state. I encourage you to look favorably and act favorably on House Bill 2411. And again, thank you for your consideration of it today. I'd be pleased to answer any questions. Otherwise, I know there are a number of other witnesses that are here to testify with probably better particular knowledge of it than I.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Representative Shetterly. Any questions for Representative Shetterly? Representative Burgess.
I don't have a question, but I just have a statement, and I don't intend for the statement to be construed that I'm opposing the bill. But this bill does affect a lot of people. It's not just the team going to the Dairy Queen. I see children in the back of trucks all the time without being secured. Is there, I guess I do have a question. Is there a way that you anticipate that children just in families that are being transported on the highway in the back of trucks can be secured because there is no provision in the back for a safety belt?
Well, I guess that's a question beyond the realm of my expertise. Certainly the bill does exempt from this persons that are carried in such a way that they are secured with a safety belt or safety harness. I know you have things like, what are some of these, I forget what you... They're like little Jeep kind of affairs that have open backs, but they also have seats with safety harnesses. Those certainly would be exempt.
But not the back end of a pickup.
Mr. Chair, Representative Verger, as far as I know, it would take some retrofitting, I guess, to secure the back of a pickup with a seatbelt or safety harness. I'm not aware of any.
Representative, Mr. Chair, thank you. In a situation where a pickup bed is covered by a cap or a canopy, can then children be unsecured inside the cap or canopy in the bed of the pickup?
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, I'm not sure what the current rules might be. This bill would not prohibit carrying anybody in the back of a canopy. This refers to an open bed. I think the concern here is with being thrown out of the vehicle. Once you put a canopy on it, I'm not sure what other laws might apply as far as carrying, whether that becomes a passenger compartment, I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this law, it'll just apply when the vehicle's on a public highway or public roadway?
Mr. Chair, Representative Brown, the motor vehicles laws apply to vehicles that are on a premises open to the public. So that typically is highways, parking lots, but yes, it would not apply to private roads or private property.
Any other questions, Representative Murphy?
Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Appreciate the opportunity to be before you.
Okay. I'd like to have the following three folks come forward to testify: Troy Musalski, Dale Stabe, and Pat Wills. I understand you're all three testifying in favor of the bill, and that one of you has a video you would like to show. Okay, why don't we begin with the video and then work our way across the...
Thank you. The video is in support of some testimony, so I'll go ahead and show the video. This video represents a fatal occurrence we had this summer in the Portland metropolitan area.
And I'd invite Representative Nelson, if you would like, feel free to migrate in order to be able to see.
Thank you very much.
How long is the video, sir?
A minute, maybe.
Can you turn the...
Yeah.
Stand a little bit.
I think I brought the Saudi island killing a 17-year-old boy and throwing several other teens out. Those teens weren't wearing seatbelts because they didn't have to. Good evening, I'm Paul Lindman, internet for John and Kathy. That accident concerns some because of an Oregon law that never came to be, a law against riding in the back of a pickup truck. Chelsea's Paul Book that has been looking into this, and Paul will be find out. Well, Paul, it's a rather strange quirk in Oregon law. If you're in the back of a pickup, you don't have to wear a seatbelt because there are no seatbelts. So in Oregon, people are free to ride around a pickup bed. Just don't let your dog do it. This pamphlet is a bad omen. What you need to know and do after an auto accident. It spilled out of the cab of this Toyota 4x4 when the truck flipped over. 8 people, most of them teens, were in the truck. 7 left by ambulance. 17-year-old Jimmy Sursavon died. The Columbia County Sheriff's Department says 5 teens rode in the pickup's bed, something a Clackamas County fire captain has been crusading against.
Some people think if you're in the back of a pickup bed, the only way you're going to get injured is if you're in a crash. Well, the fact is, all it takes is a hard braking or a sharp swerve to eject you from the pickup. Almost anybody in the state of Oregon can tell you about this law. You have to buckle up if you want to drive or ride in a truck. If there is one place where these laws don't even apply, it's back here. It's even better in the truck. If I want to sit back here, I don't need to wear a seatbelt.
No seatbelts, no laws against people riding in pickup beds. But if you're a dog, there is a law. In Oregon, it's illegal for dogs to be in the back of a truck unless they're restrained. Last session, state legislators like Ron Sinceri pushed House Bill 3573, which would have prohibited minors from riding in the bed of a truck. 3573 died on the floor.
In this last legislature, the one that the dog happened to pass and the one that affected children, and I'm not saying that's consistent, but for 60 individual members looking out for 60 different districts and their interests, sometimes bills pass and sometimes they don't.
And Terry Bush, with this in mind, the legislature will take another look. But he won't co-sponsor the bill this session. He's out of the House because of term limits.
There is another exception to the dog law, ranchers. They're exempt. If those same ranching interests were told to snuff out House Bill 3573, they were concerned about quickly transporting employees in trucks. Another huge problem with this accident, Columbia County Sheriff's investigators say the driver, 19-year-old Justin Hastings of Park Rose, may have been drinking. That's some bad news if that comes to be, that they're still investigating. Paul Booth, thank you very much.
Okay, I thank you for your few moments watching that television spot that Channel 2 produced for us. My name is Troy Bozalski. I'm with Clackamas County Fire District Number 1. I'm the person that provided you with the colorful folders. Inside those folders, you're going to see several things, including a couple press releases that reflect that our fire district, amongst other fire providers throughout the state of Oregon, are responding on incidents where people are being ejected from the back of pickup trucks. If you look at the detail of some of the lists, you're gonna see a dispatch account of what happens in these events. This is where the 911 caller is on the air, and you're gonna see stuff like significant brain injury, brain matter showing, person lying in roadway. These are situations that if these people would not have been in the back of a pickup, the person facing the 911 call probably would not have had, they wouldn't have had to make. Our emergency responders would not have had to deal with, and the families and the tear shed afterwards wouldn't have had to been tolerated. As a firefighter and as a paramedic, I've seen all too often some of the tragedies that happen within our world. Through my career, I've went as a paramedic, as a lieutenant, as a captain, as a public education officer, and now as managing both our public education division and our media relations. And one thing that I can say is, something that's very hard to change is a behavior. Probably in our panel right here, we all have smoke alarms in our house. But I bet if we go home tonight, we'll find out that our smoke alarms don't all work. And these are behaviors that we have a hard time enforcing. Statistically, in the state of Oregon, 51% of all smoke alarms do not work. That's over half. Why? We don't have a law that enforces a working smoke alarm in our residence. And what we're looking for is House Bill 2411 to provide us this law that'll give us this essential behavior change to make our children a little safer. Oregon seatbelt law is just celebrating its 10th anniversary. And there's no doubt, as we commute to work, we can look by, and you'll rarely see somebody without a seatbelt. But it wasn't that way 10 years ago. Certainly wasn't there 15 years ago. I remember as a young firefighter jumping in the ambulance, running code 3 right out of the city of Salem, never putting on my seatbelt. Running code 3, lights and sirens, through red lights, through stop signs, probably exceeding the speed limit, never wearing a seatbelt. Only reason that I put the seatbelt on is because a law came about that said, thou shalt wear a seatbelt. I don't think that there's any law enforcement agency that's looking to increase their quota dollars by writing citations for children riding in the back of pickups. I think what this law does is gives us an essential education tool that will be here and in place, and it'll help change behaviors. I have four children, 16, 13, 8, and 16 months. And the other day I asked my daughter, I said, why don't you go out and ride your bike? And she said, Dad, I would, but I can't find my helmet. That's the same behavior we want when these children are jumping in the back of pickups. We want them to feel that same feeling of nakedness when we get in a vehicle without a seatbelt, that same feeling of nakedness and vulnerability when we get on a bicycle without a helmet. House Bill 2411 should not be a crime. It should be used as something that we can use to educate the body of Oregon and help make Oregon just a little bit safer for the children who sometimes don't have that choice. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Go ahead.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Patrick Wills. I'm with the Philomath Fire Board as well as a firefighter. I've spent the last 32 years of my life working in life saving. Before I was in the fire service, I spent 20 years in the United States Coast Guard. I've seen situations where people die and there was nothing that we could do about it. But this type of situation where children are being thrown from a truck, we can do something about it. And I don't have a lot of statistics. I'll defer to Chief Stibe for that. But I wanted to let you know what it was like to go out on a sunny day to find a pickup that has been pitch-pulled, and there's a young 15-year-old boy laying underneath that pickup dead. Nobody that was in the cab of that truck was injured. But both of the young men that were in the back of that pickup, one was critical, one was dead. There was no weather reason for the accident. It was a dry road. It was a sunny day. The boys were out just to have a little fun. They made a mistake. They tried to pass when they shouldn't. They went off the end of the road, and they rolled their truck. It was a preventable accident. It was a needless death. The family suffers. The young boy who was driving the truck will, for the rest of his life, remember his friend who died in the back of that truck. We need to put a face on these statistics to remember that we're dealing with lives. We're not dealing with statistics. We're not dealing with money. We're not worried about economics. We're trying to save people. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Dale Stibe. I am presently the fire chief for the Philomath Rural Fire Protection District. Let me back up on Chair Starr, representatives, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for going out of protocol here. I've been waiting for 2 years to be sitting where I'm at right now, alluding to the statement that Pat made here. I was first on scene on that particular incident, and I was the first one there to try to attempt to deal with the anguish of the driver, the passenger in the compartment, and the passenger in the side of the cab of the vehicle was the brother of the 15-year-old that was laying under the truck. The other boy was seriously injured. Not only did I have to deal with the anguish at the time of those people, the survivors, but I also had to deal with afterwards the anguish of my crew that had to deal with the emotional conflict and the emotional trauma that they suffered dealing with an incident of this type, because several of them have teenage children also. If this was the only occurrence, I would say, well, this is maybe an anomaly, but it's not. In the early 90s, we had a similar incident where a young boy was thrown out the back of a pickup truck and killed. Kings Valley Rural Fire Protection District, neighboring district. We responded to help them. Nine teenagers in a pickup truck, three in the cab, six in the back, blew a tire, rolled. Several fractures, injuries, one broken back, paralyzed. This is a, it's not something that's changing. I've been doing some research on this. I'm no way an expert, but the Federal Registry shows that there have been decreases in the fatalities in vehicles across the board due to safety standards that have been put in place, but there have been no changes in the deaths resulting from people riding in cargo areas of pickup trucks. A lady by the name of Mrs. Slay tried to, through the National Highway Transportation Association, enact a federal regulation requiring that warnings be placed on the cargo beds of pickups to not ride in there. The major manufacturers, from what I've gleaned from the Federal Registry here, General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Chrysler Corporation, stepped forward and said that they would put notification in their owner's manuals that it was hazardous to have people riding in open beds of pickup trucks. I don't know what the answer is. All I know is that we are continuing to see this, and I don't see any abatement in sight. I recently, during my research, read a very well-done report by Dallas, the city of Dallas, Texas, dealing with child deaths within their community across the board. The computer graphics, the nature of it, was just unbelievably professional. Yet the cover of the report was just a plain white sheet with a few words on it. And it dealt with statistical information. And I'm going to quote them on this because I was going to come in here with a bunch of statistics, but I changed my mind after reading this. It says, this report is a statistical document. As such, it deals with the subject of child death in totals and percentages. But please remember that each number represents a child who once lived, a family who grieves, and an unfulfilled promise. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you bringing this issue before us. I, too, am a volunteer firefighter, have been with Halsey for 10 years. And Eldino, hi for me.
Oh, well, thank you.
I, Mr. Chair, I strongly support this concept. As a firefighter, I have been to a number of MVAs where people have been ejected. Fortunately, I have not been to one where a child was ejected out of the back of a truck. However, I lost my cousin in this very same manner. 14 years old, riding in the back of his brother's pickup, brother driving, 16 years old, Klamath Falls. Squirreling around, lost it, rolled it, ejected him, and broke his neck and killed him immediately. I've witnessed Ed in Lebanon at lunchtime, more than one pickup packed with kids in the back end, driving 20, 30 miles an hour over the speed limit down residential streets to the downtown area from the high school. It's just an accident waiting to happen. Now, you all have been fire service, too. You remember the days we used to ride in tailboards?
Yeah.
And then we started riding on tailboards strapped in on harnesses, right? We don't ride on tailboards anymore, do we?
No.
Why is that? It's because we know it's dangerous. That's why we ride in cabs, and that's why we put seatbelts on now. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I strongly support this legislation. It will clearly save lives. Probably nothing else we will do in this legislative session will save as many lives as what this will do. Last session, as you recall, we passed legislation that changes teen driving rules, and we've seen the fruits of that in the reductions in fatalities as a result of that issue coming into play in the last 2 years. I think this is probably one of the wisest things that we can do in this state, is strengthen this law for this purpose. And I would encourage all of you to consider, when the time is appropriate, to vote yes on this particular piece of legislation. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the witnesses? I just have one question. The seatbelt law, that affects everybody, not just minors. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'd like to have Kelly Taylor come up. And Kelly, I'm expecting Representative Witt in the room momentarily. I think comes in if we can, if we can testify on another, the other bill. So. President's Day, Kelly, I'm glad that you have to show up to testify on a holiday.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kelly Taylor, Department of Transportation. You're here, so I'm here. In fact, I am providing this testimony on behalf of another part of the department. You know, typically I do DMV and motor carrier issues, and the fellow from Transportation Safety, Troy Casales, had already had a long weekend plan with family, et cetera, out of town, and so I said, I'll go give you a testimony. I'm going to be there anyway. And I'm glad I am. We believe that this bill will strengthen the vehicle occupant protection laws, as the majority of other states have done. I think that's important to note. And I won't go over what the bill does, but I will drop down to some statistics and studies. And as the one gentleman was saying, these are people who are no longer around and with us, much like Representative Krupp's cousin. Typically, the incidents of death and serious injury to passengers who fall or are thrown out of a bed are non-crash related. They typically involve teens under the age 19 years of age or younger, and they occur in rural areas due to swerving, braking, or traveling over rough roads. So it isn't necessarily the two-car crash that causes this. It can be the non-crash, the single-car accident. And I have attached two tables that show both the last 6 years in Oregon with occupants injured in open pickup beds, fatal crashes. Now, unfortunately, the only data we have for pickup bed accidents is tied to fatal crashes, not necessarily the person in the back died, but a crash that had a fatality. And that comes off the national system that tracks Oregon data. The Oregon database that we have off of all accident reports doesn't pinpoint seating of the occupant. So we know there's many more injuries than this, but in the last 6 years, 29 people in Oregon were injured in a crash that were in the back of the truck. And the majority of them, 16 of them, were under 19, and three of them were fatalities.
Shelly?
Yes.
Let me interrupt you.
Representative Witt? Got it. I'm out of here.
I appreciate that. Representative Witt, I'm going to come forward. I'd like to I'll recess the public hearing on House Bill 2411, and I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2681. Representative Witt just had a chance to step out of another committee meeting. I'd like to get him, have him get an opportunity to testify so he can get back to his other committee work. We can have John quickly just go over the bill for us.
Yes, Chair Starr, members of the committee. House Bill 2681 prohibits carrying an animal on the external part of a vehicle in the space intended for carrying a load unless the animal is cross-tethered or protected by a container or a cage. It exempts the transportation of livestock, exempts transportation of dogs for ranching or farming purposes. It also exempts dog owner operating motor vehicle who is either the owner or employee of a ranch or farm operation. Provides exemption for dog and motor vehicle on a highway that is not an interstate designation or not within the city limits of a population of 5,000 or more. There is no revenue impact on this bill. There is a fiscal statement issue of which you are, members, you're receiving right now.
Thank you, John. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to give testimony, and I very much appreciate interrupting your earlier public hearing so that you can get my testimony in. I remember when a very similar bill came up 2 years ago in the 99 session, and it came to the floor, and I think some people saw this as kind of a lighthearted bill. I really don't see it that way. I think there's some policy considerations in this bill that are important and need to be addressed. Number one, I believe that House Bill 2681 promotes safety for the public. The reality of dogs or other animals falling out of the back of trucks, particularly on busy highways at high rates of speed, poses a very serious risk to motorists. Secondly, I think there is an interest in protecting the safety of animals. I think this bill does it in a responsible way. I know there will be testimony in this committee on this bill about some of the serious injuries and fatalities, particularly to dogs and other animals who have fallen out of trucks at high rates of speed. And then finally, I think this bill makes a reasonable exemption for agricultural purposes. I think that came up 2 years ago. I think that is a legitimate concern, but it responsibly exempts the use of animals in agricultural settings when they are not on major roads or in larger cities. So, Mr. Chairman, I would encourage you to look at this bill positively. I think it is a reasonable bill. I don't think it interferes with anybody's particular rights, while at the same time it promotes safety for the public and also safety for animals. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions for Representative Witt on House Bill 2681?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. And thank you, committee, for your indulgence there, and for the members of the audience. We'd like to accommodate other members if they have committee work. And with that, I will recess the public hearing on 2681, and I'll reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2411. Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and I'm Kelly Tater, Department of Transportation. So as I was saying, of the 29 people in the last 6 years that have died in Oregon related to pickup bed injuries and or crashes of pickup trucks coming out of the bed, 16 of them were 19 years of age or younger, and 3 of them were fatalities. And we believe, like I said, the numbers of injuries are much greater than that, but we only have statistics tied to fatal crashes. A recent Washington state study found that the fatality risk is 10 times higher for someone in a cargo area of the vehicle than within the passenger part of the vehicle. Persons who fall or ejected outside of the pickup bed are 30% higher chance of having a head injury. And as we all know, head injuries, if they're not fatal, often involve long-term care and probably a completely changed life than they had before. And then I also want to tell you about a study that was done in the University of California in 93, looking at children and their numbers related to accidents and pickup beds, and found that they accounted for 43% of the total pickup-related deaths nationwide. The incident of ejection from a pickup bed is 25% higher than from the cab of a pickup truck. There's really nothing to keep you in that truck once it starts moving around badly or rolling or something like that. So it's just really clear when you look at the different studies, being in the bed of a pickup truck is much more dangerous and much more likely to end up in either a very serious injury, life-changing, if not life-ending. As of January 1 of last year, there were 30 states that had this type of law on the books that were prohibiting passengers in any part of a pickup that was not designed to carry passengers, any part of a vehicle that's not designed to carry passengers, including the bed of a pickup. And we believe that with this House Bill 2411, Oregon would join those states in having such a law that would undoubtedly save lives, reduce injuries, and protect Oregonians from hundreds of thousands of dollars of avoidable expenses associated with the medical bills, long-term care, and related services, not to mention the anguish of all the family and friends. So that would conclude my testimony.
Thank you, Kelly. The difference I see in the summary of your testimony just now, where you have the 30 states,
mm-hmm.
the carriage of passengers.
Right.
Passengers generally, not minors specifically.
Right.
Does this bill go far enough? And that might be just a rhetorical question. Not
necessarily. Correct, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Taylor, both of the bills being considered this morning, probably the legislature, I believe, back in 1983 when they passed both sections that supposedly applied to these areas in existing statute, they probably thought that they had addressed these areas, but in both cases, what's in those statutes has been interpreted not to cover those areas. But just for the committee's information, a very young infant has to be carried in a restraint or has to be in a child restraint system. At what age could a child be in the back of a pickup without any sort of protection?
Mr. Chair and Representative Demmel, I believe that's the age of 4.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, Representative Rosenbaum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kelly, do you have any statistics or can you get them for what our proportion of pickup trucks is in this state in relation to other states? The reason I'm asking is I recollect that we're something like the second highest state in the country, either on a per capita basis for the number of pickup trucks that we have or in relation to other types of vehicles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, you mean just total number of pickups compared to other kinds of vehicles on the road?
Right. Or in relation to just the population of the state.
Obviously, Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, I don't know that one off the top of my head, but I will check to see what we can find that would answer that question. I'd be happy to share that with the committee.
Thank you. Just a follow-up comment. The reason I'm asking is because it does seem to highlight, if I'm right about this, that this is a bigger problem in the state of Oregon than it would be in other states, because it's my belief that we do actually have people using pickup trucks for a mode of transportation in very great numbers in the state. I think you see that when you're out on the road.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Kelly, does it really reduce the risk at all to have a canopy over the bed of a pickup?
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I don't have any statistics with me, but keeping the occupant with inside a vehicle, you're still going to have injuries of being thrown around. Obviously, if you're not restrained in the back of a truck, let's pretend it has a canopy on it and a truck rolls, just like it can within a cab of a vehicle, you know, you can die just from the injuries of being beat up as you're rolling around and hitting the sides. You could also be ejected out a side window or something. That happens in a regular car.
The reason I was asking is because this one piece of written testimony we have says the cargo area of a pickup truck with or without a canopy has proven to be a source of injuries and death to children and adults. And it also notes, in addition to the possibility of being injected, passengers riding in covered cargo beds are exposed to carbon monoxide from exhaust fumes. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if possibly it might even be more dangerous, and I don't know if we have the statistics to distinguish.
Mr. Chair and Representative Merkley, I'd be happy to look into that also to see what we do have, along with what Representative Rosenbaum was asking.
Representative Brown has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kelly, just this weekend, I pulled up behind a vehicle there at the junction of Highway 101 and 20 in Newport, and they were towing an aluminum boat behind the vehicle, and there's two young people sitting in that boat, in an open boat. It's a small, you know, 12 or 13 footer. Would this law cover that?
Mr. Chair and Representative Brown, I believe it would, because it is a vehicle. I don't know that this is motor vehicle. It talks about an external part of a vehicle. So, I mean, I think there's police that are in the room that could probably answer it a little better than I can. But I believe you're not even supposed to have somebody in the back of a travel trailer or anything. I believe that's the law. You're not supposed to be in the vehicle. So I'm sure being in the open area of a boat's probably not okay.
Mr. Chair, I believe the law allows you to ride in a fifth-wheel trailer as long as you have an intercom system.
Okay.
But you cannot ride in any travel trailers, my understanding.
Thank you. I'm Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Taylor, you almost got to my subject. I just wanted to ask if there was a corresponding bill for buses and travel trailers. And Representative Krupp just said fifth-wheelers are exempt, but I've always been amazed that preschool owners or operators have been able to move preschool children in vans without seat belts. And I just wonder if there's a corresponding law for buses and school buses and...
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson,
trailers and others. It's really
school buses are exempt from seatbelt, although there have been bills from time to time introduced, and I think there's one floating around this session for that too, but I'm not positive.
And follow up, please.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, and what about other vans? And you know, I'm amazed to learn that our own city police can give an exemption for a preschool operator to transport, you know, tiny tots in vans sitting, you know, on the floor. But it seems like we're missing something here.
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, I would be happy to look into that and get you the exact laws, what are and are not in place for that type of situation. I, unfortunately, am not that familiar with it.
And travel trailers as well? As
Mr. Chair and Representative Nelson, you bet.
Thank you. You bet. We want to protect these kids.
You bet.
Any other questions for Kelly Taylor? Thank you, Kelly, very much. I'd like to have Mr. Chastain.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Glenn Chastain. I'm a sergeant with the Oregon State Police at our Patrol Services Division here in Salem. I am here today to testify on behalf of the Oregon State Police in support of House Bill 2411. I'm going to keep my testimony very short, and I'm not going to go over all the statistics and information that you have already been given today. We support this bill because it will have a positive effect on transportation safety. The bill defines the open bed of a vehicle as an external part of a vehicle and will prohibit minors from riding in that portion of the vehicle. It would require that they ride in the cab, where they are required under ORS 811-210 to have a safety belt or safety harness. The only concern we have is that there is no exemption in this bill at all, and we'd like that the committee may want to take into consideration an exemption for controlled parades or ceremonial events. In conclusion, the Oregon State Police supports the concept of this bill, and we ask that you give this bill favorable consideration, and I'd be happy to take any questions at this time.
Thank you very much. Do you want to answer the question about the kids riding in the back of an open boat being towed by a vehicle?
I believe that does fall under the trailer, which would be prohibited to ride in a trailer. And then the fifth wheel is an exemption, and yes, an intercom is required.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Chastain? Thank you very much for your testimony this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Gene Wolferson and Kate? Katie Kate. And you may proceed in any order you expect to.
Okay. Chairman Starr, members of the committee, my name is Jean Underhill Wilkinson. I'm an associate director with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I have short testimony that will be passed out to you. This has been an interesting discussion so far, and I have learned a few things. Hearing about these disasters and these tragedies makes me sick to my stomach, and it's unfortunate when kids or young people are acting in an irresponsible manner and have some of these accidents. But I am here today representing the farmers of Oregon and their needs when they are on the job and have farm workers on the job with them completing farm activities. Farmers and ranchers need flexibility in how they operate their equipment, and we believe that House Bill 2411 would reduce this flexibility. It is with great apprehension that I sit up here and oppose this bill, especially since Representative Shetterly is really good to farmers and has done a lot for us. And I understand the issue. Pickup trucks, of course, in the farming community are an essential tool for every farming operation. And during peak periods when farm jobs need to be completed, such as harvesting, changing irrigation pipe, pulling rye, herding cattle, feeding cattle, and certainly fighting fires in some of these areas in eastern Oregon, large areas that don't have any formal fire protection. It's up to the farmers and those farm employees to help fight those fires when they occur every year. And farmers, of course, as I've said before, they employ a number of farm workers who are under the age of 18 for seasonal jobs. And transporting people in the back of a pickup is sometimes necessary. Generally, it's for short distances. Many times, the owner of the farm is driving that vehicle, the speed in which that vehicle is going is low. And sometimes, it's necessary to transport farm workers and equipment on roads and highways for short distances. Of course, highway means every type of public road there is available, and most of the time you see pickups, if at all, with farm workers riding in them in very rural parts of Oregon and in rural roads where the speed limits are generally lower. Many times this is necessary when the farmer's fields aren't totally contiguous with one another and they need to be transported from farm to farm using a public road. That's the only means of getting from field to field. So with that, it's it is with apprehension that I oppose this bill. I think it will decrease the flexibility that farmers need to transport farm workers and equipment in the backs of pickups when that is needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Whoever wants to go next, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Chair Starr, and committee members. I'm Jim Welsh. I'm representing the Family Farm Association, and we agree with Jean Wilkinson representing Farm Bureau here. I think she put it very well. She stated it clearly, and I won't take much time. I just want to point out that in the ag community, being able to use what we call the universal multiple-use tool, which is a pickup truck, is something that is very necessary from time to time. And it is used in a working situation and used responsibly for the most part. I mean, you're not going to want to race around and put at risk those in the back of a pickup. And I think this also comes under an issue or a situation that we so many times, wanting to do the best thing for the public, we start hurting some of the working community, and with rules and regulation, whether it's for a certain group or age class or whatever, and a lot of our workers are under 18 in the farm and ranching situation. So I really just question whether or not we need that. We're going to get that restrictive in this legislation here. If you would economically consider thinking about what the cost of a pickup, a two-wheel drive pickup compared to a Suburban or a bus, being required to move your farm workers in that situation, I think you could clearly see and very quickly understand economically that would be prohibitive. I think that we could certainly take another look at this as a committee and reconsider, especially for farming and ranching communities, and I would ask you to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Starr and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Katie Kate, and I represent the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, and I believe Jean Wilkinson really touched on the importance of pickup trucks to our farming and ranching communities and their use. I'd like to talk about the importance of employing a youth workforce in the farming and ranching communities. Number one, many times families will employ minors in the operation, and they take on a great deal of responsibility in doing the everyday chores. And transportation in a bed of a pickup is many times needed when you're looking at a family of four. Maybe they have three children working and they need to transport them. Also, for our youth, employment in rural Oregon is very limited, and their only option is many times working on a farm or a ranch. And they might not own a vehicle of their own and will need to be transported to the field or to the farming operation. Also, there are safety concerns on many of our fields, especially in the dry land wheat areas, of having too many vehicles on a field due to risk of fire and the explosive nature of the gasoline in the pickup. So there are issues of keeping the number of vehicles down on the fields. And with that, I'd like to end and answer any questions.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question to all three of you. Are there some possible amendments that you feel would be appropriate that we could add into this legislation?
Chairman Starr, Representative Krupp, we would be happy to look at any proposed amendments that the proponents of this bill would like to bring. We'd be happy to look them over and share them with our membership and see if something might work out.
If we exempted for the purposes of this bill minors who are involved and employed in agriculture activities?
Chairman Starr, that would be possible. I would have to run that by my transportation committee to make sure that that's all right with our membership, but tentatively, that sounds like that might be a viable idea.
Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Wilkinson, if such an exemption was offered in another bill that we are considering, not today, but at another time, would you consider, if we made an exemption to the graduated licensing, that we not make it in this case for someone transporting other young people in the back of a pickup that did not have the 6 months of a required experience?
Chairman Starr, Representative Devlin, I'm not totally certain I understand your question.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Wilkinson,
be more specific.
We can talk.
We have another bill before this committee where we are considering making an exemption to the graduated licensing program, and that exemption would permit someone, just once they get a license, potentially, to be driving a vehicle for purposes of employment.
Yes.
Would you be willing, if that exemption was there, of still keeping a requirement there, that they have the experience when they're transporting people in the back of a pickup, is what I'm saying. Otherwise, you get the double. You get the young person that has very little experience driving the pickup with young people in the back of the pickup.
Yes. Yes. Chairman Starr, Representative Devlin, that sounds reasonable. If we're able to get something worked out with the provisional driver's license bill, that might be an option I would go for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you all very much for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Good. I'd like to have Alice Lasher and Joanne Fairfield, I think, come forward. Please identify yourself for the record. You may proceed.
Chairman Starr, members of the committee, my name is Joanne Fairchild. I am a trauma nurse coordinator for Legacy Emanuel Hospital. I'm a former LifeLight nurse and head the Trauma Nurses Talk Tough About Saving Your Life program. This law closes a loophole in our law for protecting children in this state that's very needed. I went back over our records at Emanuel, and we're an urban trauma center. In 5 years, we admitted 12 children under the age of 18 from these injuries. And when you consider that we're one of 9 major trauma centers in the state, I think you can understand the injury problem. In my testimony, I've just told the story of one patient that we saw. This is not a case of kids squirreling around in a pickup truck. This is a case of kids on a logging road. Their estimated speed was 25 miles an hour. Actually, law enforcement didn't believe that, and they went back and recreated the event and found out that, yes, indeed, that was more than enough force to propel somebody headfirst from the bed of the pickup. The 15-year-old girl that was brought to us had a devastating brain injury. We almost always can tell right away if you're going to die. What we don't know is how you're going to turn out. We got to tell her parents that night she was going to survive. They thought that was good news, and I'm still not sure that it is. She did wake up from her coma. If you consider opening your eyes and staring into space, being awake, you can imagine what this did to her family. And after many months and many hundreds of thousands of dollars, we finally were able to discharge her to the care of her parents after she had spent months in our rehabilitation unit trying to learn those skills that we all take for granted, but that some of which she'll never be able to do again. These brain injuries, and that's what happens. You are propelled headfirst from that vehicle. And we can protect our arms if we run. We can't even protect our bodies with our arms if we run full speed into a wall. So when you're flying head first, there's absolutely no protection to your brain except this very flimsy skull. I'm asking you to please protect our children. And I believe that all children in the state deserve protection, not just those children in the cities, but I believe that children in our rural areas need this protection too. I ask you to please vote in support of this bill. and I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to testify before this committee. These injuries we can prevent.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Please proceed.
Chairman Starr, members of the committee, my name is Alice Lasher. I'm here representing actually the Oregon Safe Kids Coalition and also Sandy and Boring Fire Districts, both of which are rural fire districts. And this puts me in an interesting position considering the fact that a majority of my community is nursing and farming communities. Generally speaking, in my area, many of those employ buses, old school buses, for the transportation of their workers from fields. When I spoke with my chief before coming here and asking permission to testify today, he told me a story about when he was 14 and one of his closest friends was traveling from one berry field to another. They hit a bump in the road, she was ejected from the vehicle, and she was killed. So he said, sure, go down there and let him know. I do need to be considerate for the farming community. I do understand that there's needs there. That being said, the dangers of riding in an open bed pickup truck in conjunction with also riding with it with canopies. I mean, as we've noticed, there's also severe injuries that happen there. We cannot produce accurate statistics for these injuries as well as we can produce statistics for fatalities. Unfortunately, we don't track those as well. And I did want to answer Representative Merkley's. You had a question about carbon monoxide poisoning. Before I was employed with Sandy and Boring Fire, I did start with Portland Fire. And the last call that I had before I left was a family moving up from California that had three children in the back of a pickup. They stopped, thought they were sleeping, and they had died from carbon monoxide poisoning. So, yeah, that does happen as well.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions? Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Mike Dewey, the last person on my list. I'll testify here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Mike Dewey, representing Oregon Wheat Growers League and the Potato Growers. I didn't really have a desire to sign up on this bill and to oppose the bill. You did have previous testimony from three individuals from the farm ranch community, and they are concerns that we also express to wheat growers and potato growers. I do want to say that ranches are getting a little bit larger in the eastern part of the state, so it is necessary to cross highways or to be on highways for individuals that have properties that are not contiguous. So this bill would impact them. You want to use as few trucks as possible. That is why we have a situation where there are going to be some people from time to time, unless this bill passes, from time to time who are going to be in the back of the bed. Of course, these are individuals that are in the course of employment, and I would submit that usually, but not all the time, they're not going to be horsing around. They are employees. We are very concerned about that. We pay workers' comp for those individuals. We do not want to have any injuries at all. That is our goal because our rates do go up. The fire situation is a major concern not only to fight a fire because they do occur in the dry-lined areas. So we would want an exemption if this bill were to move forward for that kind of a purpose because it's very difficult to fight a fire from the inside of a cab or at the same time if you're in a seatbelt. So that would be very difficult for us. And the other consideration is that we want to have as few trucks as possible during harvest because the possibility of the pickup starting the fire can occur. So we would work with the proponents of the bill to see if there is an opportunity to seek some sort of compromise here. We recognize the dangers also, and we want to make sure that we as farmers and employers, provide that information to individuals. That these accidents do occur, and we want to do everything we can to eliminate those. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Representative Rosenbaum, have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dewey, do you know what the prevalence of use of miners to fight fires actually is? You mentioned a couple of things in testimony.
Representative Starr and Representative Rosenbaum, we're talking about usually like a wheat fire that occurs just like this, and you need to put it out as quickly as possible. So we're not talking about forest fires where you're moving people from point A to point B. We're talking about a situation where they occur, and you need to do everything you can. And the last thing, and if you need to get to another field, you're going to do that as quickly as possible. Now, I anticipate you'd probably break the law because you'd put the individuals in the back of the pickup to get from point A to point B because you don't want to lose your crop. So you would probably be willing to pay the fine if that were to occur. Probably you're not even going to think about it because you need to get those people to that place as quickly as possible. At the same time, when there is a fire, the neighbors come in immediately to help. That's one of the situations that occurred because they know it could happen to them. So you're trying to get as many people to that fire as quickly as possible. Hope that answers your question.
Not sure. Actually, follow up. I wasn't clear from your testimony if you were describing an exemption that would exempt people that were actively engaged in fighting a fire or...
Well, I'm just Representative Starr and Representative Rosenbaum. I'm just pointing out to you that the way you would fight a fire, particularly a fire, let's say a wheat fire, is with pickups and individuals in the back of a pickup in some cases, either to get them there or to move from point A to point B to follow the fire. So it's a situation that is a concern for us. There are other concerns, but it is a concern. We don't want to break them.
Exactly. Do they fight? Do you fight a wheat fire?
How do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to get as much water there as possible.
Okay.
And
you're throwing water out of the back of a truck to kill the fire.
No, you're well. Actually, what's going to happen? You may have a water truck that is adjacent to the pickup and back of the pickup. So you may have people utilizing that to spray. So they're going to be standing up to do that. But in many cases, I mean, you've got to get the water there. And in some cases, you're going to try and figure out a diversion, just like fighting a forest fire, where you're going to cut off the fire at some point in time. You're going to lose part of your crop, but you're going to be able to figure out what the least amount of damage is going to be done. So there are various ways that you would do it.
Any other questions? Did that answer your question? Great. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for your consideration.
Anyone else here in the audience who wishes to testify? House Bill 2411 has not been called. With that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2411. I'd like to thank everyone that came today to testify on that bill. I appreciate the information. Committee, we will now resume the public hearing on House Bill 2681. I only have one person signed up to testify on this bill. Representative Devlin?
Yeah, I'm signed up. I'm not signed up, but I'm testifying.
Okay, Representative Devlin wishes to testify. Let's call Representative Devlin first. Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2681. I'll try not to read my testimony, but first of all, for the purpose of the record, Representative Richard Devlin from House District 24. The bill before you prohibits clearing an animal in the back of an open pickup truck unless the animal is cross-tethered or secured in a cage. This is a bill that both addresses issues of public and animal safety. One of the things I'd like to comment on this bill, away from the written testimony, is that these two issues that we've discussed here today are put in competition with one another as if they were somehow one is you could pass one but not pass the other, or our often comment that we would have in hearings and last sessions would be, you want to protect dogs in the back of a pickup, but you don't protect children in the back of a pickup. Well, the reality is entirely different. Back in the 1983 legislature, they thought that they had addressed both issues. And if you look at the existing statute, which you don't probably have in front of you, but ORS 811-200 and ORS 811-205 address both issues. 200 is the one relating to
dogs in the external area of a vehicle. The problem with the way that's written is that it includes the word framework, which has been interpreted to mean the beds of the side of a pickup being the framework, something that clearly has shown not to prevent a dog from being thrown from the back of a pickup or jumping from the back of a pickup. The problem with the legislature in the other portion that they passed in 83 is two problems. One, the use of the word child, which is more clarified in the bill that you just considered, defining the age of a child, and two, the word external, clearly prohibited external but did not adequately address that the back of a pickup was external. So you can see in both cases, earlier colleagues from this building had the good foresight to try to address both of these issues, and they did not look at them as competing. They were both dealt with in the same session. Animals falling from a moving vehicle present many difficulties. They pose a serious threat in terms of accidents. Drivers attempt to swerve with an animal falling from a pickup. They also distract drivers in terms of if you've ever driven behind a pickup with a dog walking back and forth in a pickup traveling at high speed, your attention has been more on the dog than in many cases on the roadway. They also, oddly enough, in some of our discussion with members of law enforcement, present a risk to law enforcement officers in terms of routine traffic stops, because it puts the officer in a difficult position approaching a pickup that has a dog that's unrestrained, that may or may not be friendly to the officer approaching the pickup. The bill also, of course, tries to address the issue of needless injuries to animals. I'm not an animal rights activist, never have been, but I've always been for reasonable care of the welfare of animals, and I don't really see that as being sort of out of left wing, or I see that more as a central view. I grew up at a time when and knew individuals that did a lot of hunting and things of that nature, and I knew a lot of them that if they were out hunting a deer and their shot wasn't true and they didn't actually kill the deer but the deer evaded them, would have had trouble for days thinking about the agony that that deer went through. I can remember my father when I was a young child taking a family dog out into the back of the field and actually putting that animal away. Something that troubled him for days, but he knew it was the right thing to do because the animal was suffering considerably, and we had sort of a conscious feeling that we should not actually cause unnecessary injury or have animals suffer, and I don't think that's really out of left wing. I think that's actually pretty mainstream. Also, I'd like to indicate in the last session, this bill did make it to the floor. It did pass on the floor of the House. It did not come out of committee on the Senate side, unlike the earlier bill that we considered that actually died in committee in the last session. The proponents of this bill worked carefully with the agricultural community in the last session to put in clear exemptions, and at the end of those proceedings, we did not actually have any opposition from most of the agricultural community. Also, in addition to that, this session, with the introduction of this bill, we've again worked with the agricultural community to improve that exemption, and should this bill come back for a work session, we do have better language that'll be coming forward that I think will be more satisfactory, even beyond what we had last session. Finally, I'm not usually a person to want to legislate common sense, but both of these bills we've had here today are common sense. There are issues that our previous colleagues in previous sessions have had the will to try to address. It seems reasonable that we should try to address them. Both of the issues present clear threats to public safety. I will not tell you that in some ways that I think that, you know, if I had to choose between these two bills, I would probably choose the first bill that you considered in this hearing, rather than the second, if I had to choose between the two. But having to choose between the two is really not a choice you have to make. And it's one of those things that they try to put you in a political environment saying you have to choose between A and B, and you don't really have to choose A and B when the fundamental purpose of both is to protect public safety. I urge you to support both bills.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Representative Murphy has questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Devlin, you referred to the 1983 legislation and regarding carrying a child on the external part of the vehicle. Was your testimony that external part of the vehicle was interpreted not to include the bed of a pickup?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Merkley, it's my understanding that in both of these cases, you know, these statutes have been in place for a relatively long time, and it's just simply how they're being interpreted, and we need a greater clarification of what the meaning of each of them is. I have been told by a representative of the Oregon Department of Transportation that the word child was an issue because it's not as clearly defined as you would think it is defined. And from previous discussions in other areas, I think the problem is the external part, too, because while that is, you know, common sense to both of us, what the external part of a vehicle is, having a more explicit definition of law would be of considerable help to law enforcement in terms of trying to enforce the requirement.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Devlin, would you just include in here, except for medical transportation, I've been a part of the Evergreen Doe Humane Society now for many years, and we've placed some 16,000 animals, but often the way we get these is because there are injured animals along the road, so we, you know, which are picked up and quickly moved whatever way you can. And so I just hope that you'll please not penalize us for, you know, taking injured animals that have been hit by a car or a truck. You know, I hope we can transport them without having to secure them as quickly as we can, because we probably won't have them. So just need that medical exemption, please.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nelson, I'm sure the proponents of the bill would be happy to work in terms of trying to address any of the particulars. I mean, as we were considering the earlier bill, I think a lot of us, even before it was brought up, thought about the issue of everyone's got a neighborhood parade, and, you know, you've got kids in the back of a pickup, and I don't say it's the safest thing, but you don't want, that's like trying to change mom and apple pie. So, but I think actually, you know, someone trying to come to the aid of an animal that's been injured on a roadway, if an exemption is necessary, I think it's something clearly could be done.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Representative Devlin, very much for your testimony. Committee members, you have just received a photocopy of some proposed amendments to the bill. Just for your perusal, they're not in LC draft form. They will be drafted in LC form at some point. Lieutenant Randy Covey?
Covey, Mr. Chair.
Covey. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. I'm Lieutenant Randy Covey with the Law Enforcement Division of the Oregon Humane Society. I'm going to start my testimony by saying I fully support the early testimony on House Bill 2411, and I would repeat Representative Devlin's concern and his issue that this bill, House Bill 2681, not be considered in competition with that bill, but that it be considered on its own merits and for its own reasons. I'm here today to testify before you in support of House Bill 2681 with the proposed amendment that I believe you're getting information on as we speak. I support this bill as a law enforcement officer specializing in the enforcement of animal welfare laws. I also support this bill as a law enforcement officer concerned about public safety. And third, I support this bill as a private citizen that has witnessed the effect of animals falling out of a vehicle in the highway. We have been in contact with most of the major agricultural groups in the state, and as Representative Devlin indicated as well, we believe that we do not face any opposition considering the proposed amendment that does allow an exemption for dogs which are being transported by an individual who's actively engaged in farming or ranching activities. And with a work session, we believe that we could very quickly come out with a bill that has full support from the proponents of the bill and no opposition from the agricultural groups. I'm also aware of a survey of veterinarians that was sent out I believe you have a copy of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association letter of support of this bill. Survey was sent out, and with simply a 5% response so far, it's been determined that 45 dogs per year are injured and 12 are killed as a result of falling out of the backs of vehicles, being unrestrained in vehicles. In the state of Oregon, we require that you cover garbage being transported to the dump site. One of the major reasons for that is to prevent that garbage from falling out and causing a traffic hazard. I don't want what you hear to be that I'm comparing animals to garbage, but I think the idea is the same, is that from a public safety standpoint, this does prevent animals from becoming a traffic hazard if they were to fall out. This is a traffic violation. The maximum fine is $75. We're not talking about a major hardship on anybody if they accidentally are found guilty of violating this law. I was traveling one time as a private citizen, driving two cars behind a pickup truck that had a female dog and several puppies in the back of it. As we were driving along, there was, in the area where I lived at the time, there's a curve known as Dead Man's Curve. And as this truck went around that corner, three of the puppies fell out of the back of this truck. And I was two cars behind. I was able to slow down and get out of the way. But the car directly in front of me, which was directly behind the pickup truck, swerved, took some pretty dramatic evasive action and ended up in the ditch as a result. The dogs, of course, were injured. I don't believe any of those dogs died. But at that point, I got a very clear and convincing argument as to why animals need to be restrained. Representative Devlin is correct also in his testimony that the current law is being interpreted as to allow animals to be free in the backs of pickups simply because the framework of the bed supposedly provides protection from those animals falling out. You've heard testimony today that even people in a swerving act or in a braking action can be thrown from the back of a vehicle, and these are individuals that know the dangers and supposedly know how to hang on. The traffic hazard for animals that don't necessarily have that capability being thrown into traffic and creating a traffic hazard is greater. So I don't want to go on any more than that. I certainly appreciate your time. This bill will provide clarity to the current laws, which does not require animals to be restrained. This bill, to our knowledge, has no opposition from the agricultural community. With the work session, we believe we can come up with language that will meet any concerns that may be out there. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No questions. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you.
Testimony today. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to testify? Oh, yeah. Mr. Strader. Snuck in there.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the usual introduction you get?
I get it. Alec comment to me this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Representative Kurt Schrader, House District 23. Appreciate the opportunity to testify in favor of House Bill 2681, particularly in my role as a veterinarian, in my real world, if you will, the real life I live. This is a very important bill. I feel that it will help reduce the number of injuries and fatalities that have been testified to here today before you. I see several cases every year where this sort of thing has ended up with injured animals, and it's inappropriate now with the urban areas in particular. I think with the way this bill is worded, we learned a lot from last session that we need to protect people's ability on the ag and forest land to do their thing. There are a lot of times when animals will be transported, and that's okay. You're not talking the high speed or asphalt surfaces generally that we're talking here in the city and urban areas. So the extent that the bill and work session can be crafted to make sure the ag community is protected, I think this is a great bill. And a good protection for our little animal friends, and I think we're becoming more and more concerned that they have some basic rights too, just like we do as human beings. So I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions for Mr. Schrader? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, is there anyone else that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2681. And no other business before us. We adjourn. Thank you.
Good job, Richard.
I have a copy.